Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Joel, Nightwing, and Daryl Quentin. Coming up on TMS, moistly water.
Stripping my nuts.
Whacking hammer jerk rotation.
Full redneck ibbit.
Hee-haw, possums, footlong, rats, and cats, oh my.
Twerk and torque, know the difference.
Air fryer doggerito.
All Trevors are redheads, but not all redheads are Trevors.
Japan spacey Gundam style.
$40. Is $40.
Dave, the stripper.
Horror movie night, and still no parasite.
Couple hits and it came right out.
Gotta do some pumping to get fluid back in the lines.
Captain America's chesticles with Steven, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
How can you prove your Q-stick is straight and true?
I know they're mild and they really taste great.
Get to work, pretty boy.
Do the bees know they make honey for you? This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Monday, October 9th. I saw it. It's a couple months back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got that screwed up. The 9th of October, 2023. I'm Scott, and that's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
Oh, you know, just in the thick of the Halloween anticipation. We got a funeral this week, so that's all going on.
Things are
fine though. Carter went to Korea today. Japan and Korea. Japan first, and they're there for a few days, and then Korea for the rest of it.
And she's gonna have such a great time. In Tokyo, or is she going around?
I think just Tokyo this time. Last time she went, she was kind of all over the place, and it was only Japan.
That's right. I forgot this is her second trip to.
Yeah, right. So this is going to be a little bit of Japan, a lot more Korea, and this will be her first time in Korea. And of course, you know, we have a lot of family history there with my siblings and everything, and so that'll be a fun thing. She's going with cousins who are descended directly from my sister Misha and my brother Matt. Full Korean adoptions, those two.
That's great.
Yeah, yep. So just one generation, separated. So they know some language. They can get around in places that, you know, might be tricky for just the white kids to go. So, she's going to have a good time. Nice. But she was a little sad because she'll miss the funeral. But the way the timing worked, there was just no way around it. So she had to go when she went. But anyway, all is well, I think, here. We had a very busy weekend. There was a lot going on. But I would like to know.
Yes.
How Brian Ibbitt repaired his own vehicle like you were some kind of lord of your manor.
Some kind of real man, as if I was some sort of real man. Yeah, I had brake work done earlier this year, had brake pads replaced, and ever since then, and it's been since March, April, maybe. Mm. Ever since then, they've continued to squeak. And there was like a, everybody had suggestions like, oh, you know, it's squeaking. Yeah, it'll go away after a month. Or what you need to do is go about 30 miles an hour and then really jam on your brakes to like get things seated well and da 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 da. Like basically everybody had their advice on how you fix your brakes. And, that just wasn't doing anything. And I was noticing in the last couple of weeks, noticing like some specks of black dust collecting on the bevels of my wheel on that side, just on that one side. I'm like, all right, yeah, we're, you know, we're replacing these things. And so I'm not, didn't decide not to take it back to the place that did before, obviously. Decided to do it myself. And I've replaced brake pads before, so that's no big deal. This is the first time I've ever done rotors.
Right.
And he got everything ordered, had it delivered, because there was this dumb coupon that required delivery, even though the store is 2 blocks away, and I could have gone and picked it up, but I saved $40 by making them ship it to me.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. But
I feel like I would have done that, so don't feel dumb.
Yeah.
It's not dumb at all.
Well, absolutely. $40 is $40. Listen, that's
no small bit of change. You can buy things for $40.
That's, exactly. Yeah. I can go have a nice pho dinner after doing the brakes, which is exactly what we did.
Oh, lovely. That sounds nice. Yeah.
So cleared out the garage, got out the borrowed the neighbor's hydraulic jack and a couple other tools he has that just makes this thing a lot easier. We've got a little crank jack, but I want a hydraulic. I want my own hydraulic jack. That thing is so handy.
I want one.
Lifted it up, pulled the wheel off, and then got to took off the brake parts, the calipers, and the thing that holds everything together, the frame, and then got to the rotor. And there are two set screws. So the rotor is primarily held in place, really technically, by the wheel, by the wheel and the lug nuts.
Yeah.
But if you just have your wheel and your lug nuts holding your rotor in place, because it's on those five big bolts that you have to put the lug nuts on when you put your wheel on.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have these set screws in, you're probably going to be okay, but also you can get some vibration and that'll cause some real problems if that heats up and vibrates and it's bad.
Right.
So I had to take these two set screws out. They were so tight, Scott. Like basically, using a ratchet screwdriver, it was starting to strip it a little bit. And I'm like, oh no, can't go any further.
Yeah.
And so I told Dave next door. He's like, oh no, you don't. You know, you just basically need a different ratchet screwdriver. I'll be right over. So he comes over with his tools. He goes, and it's like it's stripping even more. I'm like, oh crap, no, stop, don't do any more.
Because
I told him, I actually called when I first called him, I said, yeah, I'm having a hard time getting these things off. I need to go get an impact driver.
Right.
And basically it's this tool, and I wish I would have brought it down, but it's this tool that looks like it's about the size of a cordless screwdriver, a little bit smaller. And it has a spring-loaded mechanism inside such that when you whack the back metal plate with a hammer, it slowly jerk rotates the bit you have in there.
Oh,
and it's got to be a bit that's rated for impact. You can't just pull one out of your Milwaukee drill set, put it in there, because you'll probably chip something or break something.
Sure.
So I was like, I'm just going to go buy one of those. And next door neighbor Dave is like, oh, no, I can help you with this. And he started stripping. And I said, no more. I'm going to go get a...
Dave, slow your roll, Dave.
If I strip that thing, I'm screwed. That's going to take me towing it to a place and having them get that, drill that screw out, auger that screw out or something.
Yeah, no one's doing that for free.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. One sleepy panda says, one time I stripped them so bad, I just took an angle grinder to it, grind the screw head down, pop the rotor off, and used a vice grip to get the rest out. Yeah. I don't want to do any of that. Ooh. I don't have an angle grinder. Don't want to go that route.
Yeah.
So I went did a couple calls around town, found a hardware store that had the impact driver that I needed. $20. Worth it. Best $20 I've spent. And basically, tink, like seriously hit with the hammer like twice, tink tink, even with the stripping that was already in that screw, tink tink, couple hits and that thing came right out.
Wow,
super cool.
Look at you.
So use that on both wheels. And aside from that 1 hour driving out to go get parts, the whole process maybe took 2.5 hours.
It's not bad.
Although
you can't see this at home, Brian is sitting today because, you know, this stuff's hard on your muscles, you know?
Yes, I really stretched. You know, I mean, I probably should have done more stretching, but really cranked my back and I was hunched over working on these things. I mean, that's 2.5 hours of being hunched over, pulling wrenches in directions that aren't easy. It's not like pulling wrenches towards you. That's easy. Pushing away from you, real easy. But it's the left and right, and then underneath the car, and you're like trying to get these really tight bolts holding the back of the brake frame on there. Oh, pain in the butt.
There's hardly anyone I know who's a mechanic. I know a few mechanics. All of them have some weird shoulder or back thing. All
really?
Of them.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Every one of them. Like if they're the type of mechanic that has to get up underneath there and do some dark shit, they have back issues. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. So got everything put back together. Got in the car. Decide, all right, let's go ahead and, you know, going to drive around the neighborhood and just test, make sure I did a good job. And we've got a sloping driveway. Our garage is up high and it kind of slopes down a slight grade to the street.
Mm.
And so I'm going forward and we've got to slow the car down. So I hit the brakes. Nothing happens. Hit the brakes. Nothing happens. Ooh. I'm like, crap. Grab the emergency brake. Yoink. It's like, oh, yeah. Because I pressed compressed the caliper down. Got to do a little brake pumping to get fluid back in the lines and push the caliper back out. So, whoops.
Oh, right. I forget how those work. You're right. They're empty. They're essentially there's no pressure.
The fluid is out and there's nothing pushing the caliper out.
Dang, dude.
So
that's wild. Everyone go to Brian's house. He's the new Jiffy Lube.
Jeff H. says, did you torque the lug nuts down when you put the wheel back on? If not, stop by a shop and ask them to check them for you. No, that's not a bad idea.
How do you torque some? I know what torque is, but what is it? How do you torque it?
Torque the lug nuts down? I don't know.
Must be just like...
I love this thing. It's a four... it's a tire iron that is basically four... plus shaped,
yeah,
for lack of a better description.
Sure.
And I like that so much better than just the lug wrench that is just a hook, like a little L shape.
Yeah.
Because I can go.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. You can grab it like a pirate, man. You can steer that ship. Right. The thing too is you don't.
A wrench measures the amount of force used. Okay. Well, the good news is I'm going to Discount Tire today to have them address a slow leak that I have in that very same tire that has that had the squeak. So I'll just ask them, hey, do you mind torquing my lug nuts?
Yeah.
Do you mind torquing my nuts while you've got the car up on the blocks?
Yeah. If they smile, you have to report back. If they giggle at that, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
If they hear that and go, oh, hey there, mister, slow your roll. Hey, buddy. Well, that's fun. A
digital torque wrench. All right, maybe there's another tool I might need. Mm.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? These are like, it's just like getting your gauge, your tire gauge, I guess. It just tells you how tight it is or how much torque there is.
Exactly. Yeah. Just gives you an idea. Yeah. All right. That might be my next purchase is a digital torque wrench.
All right. DTW. Yeah,
DTW.
Down to wrench. Yeah. Well, that's great.
You know what else I did this weekend, Scott?
What'd you do?
Took Tina on a surprise, on a mystery date. Mm. Gotta love the mystery dates. This one was to a thing, an annual festival that I'd never heard of before this year called Cider Days. So this is a celebration in Lakewood of everything Apple and... except for watches and iPods and phones and stuff. But they've got Apple picking. They've got little places where if you bring your apples or you buy a bag of apples, you can go and press your own cider.
Oh, that sounds fun.
You basically, for $20, so you bring your own apples, bring your own jug, and then for $20, you can press your own cider.
That sounds like fun. That'd be great. Make your own deal. Make your own.
It was great. I didn't do. We opted not to do that. I'm like, no. You know what? I'm just gonna buy. They've got jugs of fresh pressed cider, so I'm just gonna go buy one.
Sure.
They had a little hay bale maze that was actually taller than I expected. When the brochure came out or when the website, it was like a single level of hay bale. So basically, you can basically step over the hay bales to get through the maze if you get stuck. Yeah. But this one, the one they actually had set up was like three or four high. So you could see over it. You could see the top and kind of get an idea where you needed to go. Mm. But it wasn't so high, so low that you could just climb right over it.
Yeah, the low ones are ridiculous. I guess those are just for kids or whatever. I like one with a little challenge. I don't like them at all, actually. But if I'm going to be in one, I would like to have it be not just
walk over.
Have it be a little bit
of a challenge. Yeah. I like, you know, I'm a fan of corn mazes. I feel like that adds just enough creepiness to the whole maze experience. Mm. And they make some pretty intricate, crazy mazes, at, you know, this time of year for people.
Sure.
They also had hard cider. Had to have some cherry glider cider. We watched a trick pig performance. These two pigs that did a whole bunch of tricks just like dogs, like slam dunking balls in miniature basketball hoops and opening and closing mailboxes and doing all the typical dog training stuff.
Wow. I didn't know pigs were capable.
I didn't either. Mm. And then watched my first tractor pull, which I'd never seen a tractor pull before, but that's just fascinating.
Next year, Brian's getting year-long tickets to all the NASCAR events and monster truck
Does
rallies.
Does NASCAR do a tractor pull?
No, I don't know.
You're just saying I'm going full redneck.
Yeah, you're going full redneck. That's basically what I was saying.
I'm going to fully appreciate the Ernest movies and...
all that, all the hillbilly movies and stuff, you're back in,
dude.
You're all in.
Not even a little bit.
Wow.
No, but it was crazy watching these tractors like geared up to pull this big heavy vehicle backwards so that it could see how long before the wheels of the front wheels of the tractor start going straight up and this thing is like practically on its back. Kind of crazy.
I feel like I saw one of those years ago, but I don't remember the context. Like, where was I? Probably like a fair.
Yeah, it would probably be a fair. Yeah.
Yeah. The town or the Salt Lake County fairs usually got tractors pulling shit.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
I'm sure.
Well, that's
tractors
good.
Pulling shit. Come to the fair.
That's a very Halloween-y date. You know?
It is. Nice and fall. Enjoy. We didn't wear flannel, but we could have.
Sure, you could.
We could have worn our flannels.
Oh, yeah.
I wore something very similar to this. I just wore a Henley with a t-shirt underneath it. Yeah.
Technically, so I found this shirt this weekend. It's got a little zipper on top, but this is technically a Henley, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah. It's more like a sportsy, well, it's a champion brand.
It's a track, like a...
Yeah, like a running
University
thing.
Of Utah shirt there.
Yeah. They only had... these were on sale. There was only $8 for these.
Great.
And they had BYU or Utah. Of course, I got the Utah one. Freaking F BYU.
I don't know if I've ever asked you, like, you know, which local teams you root for or don't root for.
Well, there's a massive,
not a fan of BYU.
Yeah, massive rivalry here. Like, it's huge. Neighbors will paint their whole yard red or blue, depending on who
they're.
I mean, it's a big rivalry. Two, you know, in-state colleges going after each other, and in their heydays, for both teams, they both had moments, right? They've had some pretty big runs. But yeah, I've just always been U of U fan. Plus, Carter works there and graduated there, and I just kind of feel a little bit of pride.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the first time I ever drew a naked cadaver was up there, so you know, I get some love.
Unfortunately, in front of you was a bowl of fruit.
Yeah, but, it was just a bowl of fruit, but I called it
Scott
a naked
decided
cadaver.
To draw a naked cadaver.
That's right. The teacher was like, "Oh, okay, maybe you're not. You shouldn't be here. You should be on a list." Is what she said.
Are you looking at the same banana and a couple apples and an orange that we are?
Can you imagine that? That would be a weird thing for a teacher to have. Speaking of which, there's a pretty decent transition here. I talked to my wife. My wife has been kind of all so hyper involved with all the stuff going on with her sister's passing and getting prepped for everything and all this stuff that she just really needed an escape. And for the first time, and I don't know how long, feels like months, but probably more like weeks, we had a night where it was just me and her. Carter was off with some friends planning on the trip the next day or two days later. And everybody was gone. It was just Kim and I Saturday night. She says, "I want to see a horror movie. I want to just block my mind out and think about something else."
Yeah, good.
And I'm like, "All right, it's Halloween. Let's do this." And I said, "Now, here's our list." And I gave her a list of potentials that she doesn't like slasher movies, so we avoided those. So I said, "All right, what do you think about The Descent? What do you think about, you know, I'm naming off all these classics. God,
Descent is...
it's pretty dark.
The second Blu-ray I ever got. I think I got it like at a severe discount or something, but it was the second Blu-ray I ever got, and it still sits over there.
Yeah, that movie, whew, that's a claustrophobic thing.
Yes, it is.
So that was on the table, though. We had a few other Smiles, a recent one. We were going to do that again. But anyway, and I said, well, they are still streaming Hereditary on Max. We could watch that. And she knows I like that movie a lot. Mm-hmm. And I said, we could watch that or Ari Aster's other one. He's got a new one I haven't seen yet, but the Midsummer, I said, that's possible. Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, which one is a good one to start? And I said, actually, Hereditary is kind of like the foundational, like what's this guy's style and how does he direct and write and all that. But I'm warning you, it leaves you feeling pretty weird. That is a weird ass movie.
Yeah, you will feel uncomfortable after.
Yeah,
watching either of those, really, Midsummer. Yeah, Hereditary.
And that's the reason I like those movies is because they're different and they're not just they don't rely on jump scares and they're just creepy and weird and they do new ideas and I just really like them. And they actually genuinely get under my skin. So I'm like, well, how about that? She says, fine. I think I oversold how scary it would be because by the time we were done, she was like, that wasn't that bad. And I said, well, no, I mean, it's not bad. Bad. She goes, no, I mean, you made it seem like it was going to be the scariest thing I ever saw. Mm. And I said, no. So what we learned something. What scares me is the deeply psychological stuff.
Sure.
And stuff that's just discordant things. Things that just are like, oh, that person shouldn't be grinning right there. Like, or, you know, like right. Things like that bother me. In her case, it's just a guy in a hockey mask running through a barn with a knife. That's what she doesn't want. So I see that and just go, that's stupid. Whatever. It's Jason. Who cares? It's no big deal. You just laugh at it. She hates that stuff. She hates
But the imminent threat, like the, how do you think she would do with Barbarian?
We watched Barbarian last year. She
you did. She watched it with you.
Yeah. Okay. And she loved Barbarian. And I was surprised by that because Barbarian has elements of that in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was different because I don't want to give anything away about Barbarian, but the thing that you would have as the equivalent of chasing you down is also a bit of a victim itself, you know?
Yeah.
Right. I think that landed differently, which is part of the reason I love Barbarian is it subverts all the expectations. It's such a different movie.
Totally does.
So,
but there are, there are shots of these long, cruddy, scary looking hallways where it seems to get darker. No matter how much light you got, it seems to get darker way more soon than it should.
Yeah.
Off in the distance.
Hell yeah. I thought that was going to bug her and it didn't at all. I think it's really just, maybe it's stuff from when she was a kid. Like
maybe
Friday the 13th, Freddy. Like those Freddy movies I think are ridiculous and dumb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. They're comedy with blood.
Yeah.
Basically.
Kind of. Yeah. She sees them as actually terrifying.
Really? So, that's interesting. Yeah. I feel like the way they write those movies, at least for a while, the Freddy movies were, here's a list of the fun ways we can kill teenagers. Now write a story around it.
Yeah. We were talking on, was it FilmSack or something about, and you start with the ending if you're writing a story.
Yeah,
in their case, they just start with the grisly kills.
With a list of, oh, let's do one kid in a waterbed. Oh, I know. How about we'll have a kid dangled like he's a marionette.
Yeah. How about that?
With his tendons.
Yeah. What can we do with the ceiling and walls and all this other crap? Like, they have a big snake in that one. What was that? The fourth one?
The snake with Freddy's head. Face on.
Actually, I would argue that part of the reason those movies kind of peter out over time is because they run out of creative ways to kill each other. It's just like, all right, so you've done that one. What else you got? Giant snake. Seen it before.
And but then when you see the new nightmare, the new one with Jackie Earle Haley is, it's like, oh, he just kills him? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's why this movie was not terribly memorable. I remember.
No, if anything, that movie, I think they thought it would be scarier if it was more grounded.
Realistic, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a fail, though. I don't think that was the right way to go with that. But anyway, it was fun. We're going to watch some more. She wanted to, long before her sister started to deteriorate, the goal was this was Kim's month to, watch a bunch of horror movies because now she's got a taste for it. She likes the adrenaline of it and all that.
Sure.
So if anyone out there has like a list of what you think your favorites are, and again, we're not looking for torture porn. We don't want freaking, I don't want Saw movies. I don't want what's another torture porn movie? Hostel. Don't care about any of that. Those are all very, I don't like them. And she wouldn't either. No, she would hate that.
I'm not a fan of those either.
But psychological stuff, you know, I can tell you a show, like a show she loved top to bottom was it The Outsider on HBO? The one with the guy from Secret Invasion in it, Australian actor, can't think of his name.
Oh,
based on Stephen King books.
Yeah, right. The guy who played Talos.
Yeah.
The Skrull. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I love him, and I can't think of his name. He was in Star Wars. He was in. He's in everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, in everything. That someone in the chat will say it. But that guy. Or that movie, she loved it. She loved The Outsider. She's like, is there going to be a second season? I'm like, no, I think it was just like,
really, really good.
I think it was just the book and they're done. I don't think they're doing more. And she's like, oh, that's too bad. So things like that we're interested in. All right. Uh-huh. So if anyone has ideas, I've seen most of this stuff, but if there's any I haven't, you want to send them in, email them in, just go to the website, frogpants.com/TMS and choose your method of communication and let me know. All right.
Yeah. Do that.
One quick correction, not a correction, just a little education. Yes. This is from Gwen at Phoenix Pearl Tea.
Oh, yes.
Always good to hear from her.
Gwen. Yeah.
On the factoids thing, we're talking about what factoids were.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple weeks ago or a week ago, whatever it was. And she says, yo, it's Gwen from Phoenix Pearl. Fun fact, factoid means something unverified / untrue presented as fact. So factoid isn't a portmanteau at all. The more you know. So
I thought it was just a small fact.
That's what I thought it was.
Exactly what I thought too. I was like, oh, okay. So it's just we don't have time for a full fact. We're just going to give you like this little bit of a fact.
A taste of a fact. Yeah. Now, if that's the case, if it's actually the flip of that, meaning it's presented as true, but it's not true. Why? I don't think anyone knows that. I think everybody uses it the way you and I use it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Factoids. People think factoids is just a small fact.
When you think, oh, hey, I got a little factoid for you. Cheese is made from dairy. Oh, no way. Really? Cool. Awesome.
Yeah. Nobody ever says, hey, I got a little factoid for you. Oh, what's that? Cheese is made from chicken brains.
Right. Exactly. But apparently that's more accurate as to what a factoid is. Yeah. That,
according to Gwen, I mean, I haven't verified this, but Gwen, we're going to take your word for it until someone tells us different.
We trust you.
Yeah, we sway like the wind here. We'll do whatever. We'll get whichever way you guys say to go.
Yeah.
All right. Brian Dunaway is out this week for stuff during his normal Babel Royale time. And so we have a stand-in, really.
He might be sitting. He might be standing. My guess, I'm going to bet that he's sitting.
He's probably sitting. And the good thing is we keep it in the FilmSack family. So let's do this. Yes, that music signifies today is the half asses. And we have with us Mr. Randy Jordan. Hello, Randy.
Good morning, Morning Stream. In 2006, I got to see The Descent at an Alamo Drafthouse special screening where we had to drive 90 minutes out into the country to a place called Longhorn Caverns, and the whole audience sat with their backs into the cave.
Ugh.
And a huge transportable screen was set up.
Oh, wow.
But it was unbelievable. Like they made a big deal out of it. Like they gave everybody hard hats and you had to bring your own chairs and go sit in the, with your backs into this cave. And there were so many people who left, like in the first, like 20 minutes of the movie, so many people just got up and went to their cars and went home.
It's a scary ass movie. Like one of the scariest I've ever seen. And then putting people in an actual cave to do a viewing of it. That's just insane to me. Oh my gosh.
No kidding. They had to have people like sitting in the cave, like in black onesies, like, you know, moving rocks around every once in a while, knocking over.
They actually let you know in advance, like before the movie started, there's a guy on a mic, you know, a DJ getting people excited. Yeah. And was like, I just want you to know, we are not going to there's not going to be anybody in that cave. The cave is completely empty. We're not going to do anything extra here. Mm-hmm. You're just going to watch a movie. All you're doing is watching a movie. Yeah. And of course, it was still the most terrifying thing.
This is a great example of a sequel that's never holds up to the original. Descent 2 is bad.
To The Descent?
Yeah. It's not really great. They tried. They made a valiant attempt. It didn't even come close to the Descent. Great movie, though. Man.
Yeah.
There's also a good video game that it was completely unrelated to the movie, but it was basically like you were flying in a ship and like a grid of of rooms, and there was no up.
Yeah, it was like called Descent was the name of that.
Yeah.
Well, you said The Descent, didn't you?
Or no, I didn't. Oh. I said great movie, but really good game. Oh, I know the movie is The Descent and the game is Descent, but I never said the name of it.
Yeah, just
Descent.
Wait, you couldn't go up? Never. I thought the whole thing was you could go 360 degrees in that thing.
You could go 360, but there was no up. Like you didn't know which way was, there was not a defined, now I'm flying right side up. You're just constantly left, right, down.
That's true. Those were awesome games. Oh my gosh. Love them.
And Descent, Descent, the video game, was one of those games that were used by developers later to study people getting motion sick.
Oh, really?
Believe it. Yeah.
They learned all kinds of things about what you can do in terms of bobbing and what you can't do if you don't want
people to. You can still get the original Descent. Let's see. Descent. From 95, the original game, for $10 on Steam, $9.99.
Oh, wow.
Totally worth playing.
Probably Mac compatible, because I remember playing it on my Mac. At least the version I had was Mac compatible. I don't know if Steam's version is.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's Linux, Mac, and PC, and Windows. Anyway, Descent. Get in there.
That'd be a good $10. Well spent. It's basically the video game version of the Cube. Or was it the Cube? What's the one with, or is it just, might just be called Cube.
I never saw
Cube. People going through the grid of cubes.
Never saw Cube. Was Cube good? Is that worth seeing?
It's worth seeing for Film Sack.
Okay. All right. We might make that happen. I wish October was longer. I wish we had like 2 months of October.
Totally do. Yeah. What was the, what was the movie you watched on Netflix that was kind of like a platform that would lower?
Oh, The Platform.
Was it just called The Platform? Yeah. Okay.
I think. Hold on. Yeah, The Platform.
That's a good name for it, because that's really the most important thing I could remember. But it was an allegory of like the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah, I love that movie. It's a Spanish film. I listened to it in English, though, and it was fine. It had a good dub. But I still, that's one I think about all the time. That's fantastic. Because it's equal parts.
Feels a lot like that, like this science fiction conceit where you're just like, I'm in a, it's just a big connected set of shipping containers, basically.
Well, now you make me want to play Descent. That's fantastic.
There we go. Good.
Let's play this game instead. Hey, hey, Brian, explain to Randy and I how this works and how we're going to win things and all that.
Welcome to the morning, Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you guys the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Randy a category and 6 possible answers. 3 of those answers are correct, and 3 of them, somebody saying the Foo Fighters, are incorrect. Because that the is wrong. Depending on how confident you feel with the category, you can provide 1, 2, or 3 guesses. But if you get any guesses wrong, you get 0 points for that round. Get 1 right gets you a point, 2 right gets you 3 points, and 3 right gets you 5 points. The player with the most points after 3 rounds wins the prize for their contestant. And I've pulled a couple of contestants that you guys are going to be playing for, folks that aren't able to be here live. Scott, you're playing for Andy Resch in Spencerport, New York.
Wow, Andy Resch. Hello, Andy, you're Resch. My friend. Yeah.
Randy, it's too bad I didn't have Randy playing for Andy, but Randy, you're playing for David Linovitz in Phoenix, Arizona. It's a dry heat, like a furnace.
Yeah. It is like a dry furnace. Oh my gosh. Yes. All right. These seem like two nice individuals I'm happy to play for. That's great.
Yes. I think no matter who wins, everybody will come out a winner on this one. All right. Sure. Let's get to question number 1. You guys, you remember money? You remember how we used to all have these pieces of paper and pieces of metal that we would keep, and we would pay for goods and services with those things?
Oh, yeah. I've
back
kept
in the 1900s.
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly. Well, for a while, we had presidential quarters, and then they switched more recently to landmark quarters. I want you to tell me, why isn't it showing? There we go. Show me which mountains you can find on U.S. state quarters. So any state quarters, whether it's I guess the presidential ones would be presidential quarters, not state quarters. So it's, state quarters. Your choices are Mount Rainier, Mount Washington, Half Dome, Pikes Peak, Mount Rushmore, and the Grand Teton.
Jeez.
Grief. This is going to be hard.
This is harder than I thought. I thought it would be obvious ones, but... one of these looks like it should be obvious, but I don't think I've seen this. Oh, this is going to be guesswork. I'm doing 2 today.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. I'll do, whoops, I don't want that one. I'm doing these two.
Okay. All right. Scott and Randy have both locked in. You both locked in on Mount Rainier. And yeah, that is 100% on the Seattle or the Washington State quarter. Half Dome. Also correct. You should have kept Mount Rushmore, Scott, and
damn
not
it.
Switched over to Mount Washington, because Mount Washington is not, there we go, not on a state quarter.
Crap. Randy, ahead.
Randy coming in with 3 points already.
So jeez. these were some really good guesses, like on the losers here. Like,
yeah,
every one of those. I'm shocked.
You could make a case for Pikes Peak. You could make a case for Grand Teton, Mount Washington, for sure.
Yeah, all
I wasn't
of these
willing
are good
to
answers.
Lock in on Rushmore because it just feels like it's overused. Like it's on everything.
That's why I didn't. That's why I shied away from it. It's like
it
no
did
way.
Feel like a trap, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
That's all right. We got question number two. Let's go to sports. A little NBA. Scott might have a slight advantage on this a little bit. NBA franchises that never relocated. So franchises that have stayed in the same city in which they started. Detroit Pistons, Memphis Grizzlies, Utah Jazz, Minnesota Timberwolves, Dallas Mavericks, and Chicago Bulls. So three of those
have never moved.
Three of them relocated.
So these are ones that we want to choose the ones that have never moved, right?
Correct.
Never relocated.
Ugh. NBA franchises that never relocated.
All right. Boy, another hard one here.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Okay.
I'm going to say that was an expansion team, so maybe.
Oh, boy.
I'm going with these.
Okay. Scott's locked in. Randy yet to give an answer?
What's happening? I click and it disappears.
There
you go. I see. Yeah. All right.
Okay, locked in. Both of you guys all locked in on different ones. Both of you smart enough not to click on the Utah Jazz, which of course is New Orleans.
Yeah.
The New Orleans Jazz that moved to Utah. Minnesota Timberwolves, yeah, they've stayed put. Chicago Bulls have stayed put. Dallas Mavericks have stayed put. Those are your three answers.
Shit.
Unfortunately, Detroit Pistons came from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and the Memphis Grizzlies started in Vancouver.
Were they called the Fort Wayne Pistons at the time?
They were called the Fort Wayne Pistons, yeah.
That's crazy.
That is hard to believe. I felt like that was the most
Detroit felt
the
like
answer.
A lock, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Detroit. It's
yeah, well, that blows my mind that they had Pistons. I don't even know what to make of that.
Wow.
Because yeah. Detroit and the cars and the Pistons and stuff, right? That's the idea?
Exactly.
Usually on a question like this, you just want to go east to west. The further east something is, the more likely that it's been there all along.
Right, yeah, yeah. Man, Timberwolves felt like, or not Timberwolves, but Grizzlies felt like, I felt like that one should have been obvious. Like, you're not going to find a lot of Grizzlies in Memphis, but you think that maybe they come from somewhere.
Where did they start? From?
They started in Vancouver.
Vancouver Grizzlies. That makes sense. Yeah. There's Grizzlies up there.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a Memphis or Grizzlies somewhere near Memphis, I'm sure. Yeah, all right. Well, let's get to this last one. Right. Randy going into this last one with 3 points. Scott, you need to put some points on the board.
Okay. Mm.
Your final question is car nameplates that lasted more than 55 years. So these cars, specifically the names of these cars, whether or not the body shapes have changed, et cetera, that have lasted more than 55 years. Your choices are the Porsche 911, the Ford Mustang, the AMC Ambassador, the Honda Civic, the Chevy Suburban, and the Lincoln Town Car.
All right. Somebody
of those.
Give me a, how long ago was 55 years? 68?
60,
is that right?
No,
68.
That's correct.
Okay.
68. Which of those were created after October 9th, 19? Well, I guess, or they could have been created before, actually, and lasted 55 years.
I'm going for all three here.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. You're going all out?
This is terrifying.
I'm terrified.
In.
Damn it. All right. I'm choosing. Shit. I'm going all three.
And crying at the same time. This
I don't
is
know
so
what to
hard.
Do. This is a hard one.
All right. Oh, look at that. All right. You guys both locked in on the Honda Civic. The Honda Civic went from 1972.
Damn it!
Started in 1972 and is still going strong. Oh. However, that That's just 50 years, 51 years, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The correct ones, Randy, got two of the three, Porsche 911 and Ford Mustang. Mm. Porsche 911 started in 1963, so it's celebrating its 58th year. No, I'm sorry, it's 60th.
In my head, that's an 80s car, and I don't know why. It just is in my head.
I know
you could get a 911 then, but the name just sounds like 80s.
The Ford Mustang, 1965 to present. Chevy Suburban, 1935 to present. Lincoln Town Car went from 81 to 2011. The AMC Ambassador, the shortest one on the list, from 1958 to 1974. What's that, just like 16 years?
Yeah, wait.
Okay. And
what is that?
I couldn't even tell you what an AMC Ambassador looked like, honestly.
I'm looking right now. Boring. Boring as hell, that thing. Boring.
Since AMC made boring cars, boring-looking cars.
Since this is the Car Talk episode, I just want to admit to having survived trying to replace my own suspension on a car. Don't ever do that. You should never, ever, ever replace your own suspension.
Wow.
It will kill you.
Yeah.
You will die in your garage at home when you fail to properly compress a spring.
I don't feel I would be able to do that at all. Not even come close.
Brakes and rotors, that is absolutely the extent of what the kind of car replacement maintenance I'm going to do.
I will say early ambassadors, AMC ambassadors, kind of had a cool vibe, but the stuff they did in the late 60s and 70s, just the ugliest, most boring car ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of the coupes and stuff.
TV's Travis says Suburban. I call foul there. What are you calling foul on TV's Travis?
Suburban been around forever. Long
1935,
time.
1935, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I'd guessed it. It's a remarkable vehicle in that it's kind of the same shape as it's always been.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Well, on this list, the Porsche 911 is pretty similar. But like these marks love to change their car shapes.
Yeah.
It's so weird to me. Like when you see one of these Mustang electric versions now, and it looks nothing. It doesn't even look like a Ford.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Suburban's the only one I even thought was correct on here. It was the only one I was 100% about because I know my grandma had one.
Well done, Scott.
Yeah. You know, I'll take it as a small loss victory. That's what I'll do. Speaking of which, who won what here?
So, Scott, Andy Resch, Randy, you won. So, David Linovitz in Phoenix, Arizona, you're getting a copy of, seems probably appropriate, Monaco. I hope that's a racing game. And Backbone on Steam.
Nope, Monaco is a top-down, roguelike little escape simulator thing. Yeah, it's nothing like the car thing.
Oh, what simulator?
It's like a little, not escape, but like a little... It's stealth.
A stealth game.
It's, yeah, stealth game, yes. Little 2D stealth game.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You're getting those, David Linovitz. But Andy Resch, you're also going to be getting Into the Pit, which kind of sounds like Descent.
It does.
The Descent.
Yeah, enjoy the pit. So for me, for Randy, and for our winners.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
Everybody wins. Nice. Randy, that was fun. You'll be back here Wednesday doing the same because Dunaway's got stuff. He's got meetings all week or something.
I'll be back.
Yeah, you'll be back.
Yes.
And then in that day, we'll have an actual contestant on the air, which will be super weird. Let's see what we can do on Wednesday. Randy, have a fantastic couple of days. We'll see you then.
See you, Randy. Click.
Yep. Cut him off right as I meant to.
You got him.
Take that, buddy. All right, we got to do some quick news, and we'll do that now. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
Finally getting an air fryer.
Yeah, we got an air fryer.
Nice.
They're on sale at
Costco.
Basically
just got an air convection oven, basically.
Essentially, yeah. It's one of the tabletop ones.
Is it the Cuisinart?
Yes, Cuisinart brand. We had the choice, that or the Ninja one that everyone seems to think is good.
Oh no, I say the Cuisinart is the better one to get.
Yeah, we went Cuisinart, and very happy with it. For our horror movie night, we did homemade nuggets.
Nice.
We did some. What else are we doing there? Some
and by stuff. We, Kim cooked them, right?
Yeah, I did load up the tray, but she did the. She did the whole let's check all the little buttons, make sure everything's cool part. But yep. And I'm still trying to figure it out. I burnt some toast on it yesterday. I'm still not entirely good at it.
Oh yeah. Oh, we love it for, I mean, just even toast, we're really happy with a three setting with 1 to 2 slices and gets us a nice, perfect light brown color on our toast.
I did this thing where I had it on the bottom shelf
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And no, you it burned the bottom, and the top was like hardly any toasting at all. So I was like, okay, yeah. I gotta equal that out, put it in the center somewhere. But I'm looking forward to using it more. I like it. It's pretty
good. For sure. Yeah, the thing is great with frozen food, and also like reheating things that you don't want to burn. Mm. Just do a little quick air fry on it. What's a good example of that? I wouldn't do it with pizza.
Oh, really? I've heard that's good.
Like leftover pizza in the toaster oven is the way to go, though. I mean, but I don't know about. Well, yeah, you could do air. Yeah, you know what? You could do air fry on that. Mm. It's really like I said. It's just an air convection. I just do regular toaster oven settings for reheating pizza. Mm. But
oh, that's good to know. I'm going to use it today for something. Nobody's here today, so I think I'm going to be making whatever I'm making. I'm going to figure out something good. I don't know what.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, chips, great. Potato wedges, great. Reheating French fries, like when you go someplace and they give you way more French fries than you want, just bring them home, throw them in the air fryer, and they're even better.
They're better when you recook when you got them.
And get them crispy on the outside, chewy on the inside.
I want that. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. It's ideal.
I'm trying to cut down on fries, but I'll make an exception.
Well, sure.
I'll make an exception. I'll eat some reheated fries.
For science, I'll make an exception.
Yeah, why not? All right. We have a story about a 13-foot. Here in America, we still do feet. Everyone, sorry.
Yeah.
13-foot-long python, it's a big old snake, survived 5 months eating nothing but cats in a trailer park. Yep.
Jeez.
Eating everybody's cats. An expert hired to get rid of a big snake slithering around the South Oklahoma City Mobile Park found a python that was 13 feet long and had been in the neighborhood for around 5 months. Here's the quote. "We're talking that thing has been eating opossums, foot-long rats, and cats," said Trevor Bounds.
Foot-long rats.
Yeah, you get a deal on them at the subway if you go
in. The subway, I'm sure. Yes, it's a $5 foot-long rat.
Yeah, yum yum. This is Trevor Bounds of Red Beard Wildlife Control. "The mouth of that thing is the size of your foot, and when it opens up, you're going to be able to fit something pretty large in there." Staff at the mobile park had told residents to be on the lookout throughout the week, according to NextStar's KFOR.
Picture, by the way, that guy, definitely a blonde mullet and a jean jacket.
Yeah.
Carrying a net.
Yep.
Basically.
He's the kind of guy you want to come get rid of that bee problem you got.
That's right. Exactly.
See, the alert sent out said they would be taking care of it soon. Experts say more than likely the snake was a pet that either got loose or the owner let it out on purpose. "The constricting is what can be dangerous," says Bounds. You can't have small children or pets going near this thing. "That's why this should have been tackled a whole lot sooner. Things could have been much worse," unquote. Well, thank you.
I was wrong. Trevor. He's a ginger. He's basically, I thought the town was Redbeard, but no, Redbeard's Animal Control is the...
It's because he's a ginger guy. He's a ginger redhead.
Guy with literally a red beard. I thought, Red Beard Wildlife Control. Like, we live in a town called Red Beard.
Yeah.
You know, and he's the wildlife control guy. Nope, he's Red Beard's Wildlife Control. And there he is holding a skunk in the photo I just put in our Discord.
Funny enough, I feel like I know more. If I know a lot of redheads, and I don't, but when I do know them, I feel like their names are more often Trevor than any other name.
Huh. Okay.
That may sound a little odd. Or limited data, and it is. But I swear, all of the Trevors I know have red hair. Can't explain it.
Interesting.
I don't know too many Trevors who don't. Oh, yeah, look at this guy. He's like, hey.
The actual guy. By the way, that looks like it's absolutely his Twitter profile.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He just reposts horrible racist stuff on Twitter with that profile pic.
this is the profile pic you don't want. I don't know why people still do it. You don't want it. Quit doing it.
I'm curious as to it looks like he's got the Star Wars scroll taped to his sun visor. I'm trying to figure that business out.
Oh yeah, what's that? Hold on.
It's a dark time in the
weird. Here, Chad, look at this. I'll zoom in. Up top, see that? That's like the scroll going. "Dark days have been here for the Empire." A young Luke Skywalker. Zip, zip, zip.
Exactly. Yes.
That's great. Part of me hopes that's exactly what that is, but it's
that'd be great if it is. Yeah,
Yeah. Japan did a thing that should frighten us all. Japan, Japan startup unveiled a 15-foot robot suit for space exploration.
Wow. So it's taller than that python. Yeah. 2 feet taller than the python.
That's right. And basically, they made a Gundam. That's what this is.
Oh, no kidding. Do they have a picture of it?
Let's see. I'm somewhere
sure they
in
do,
here.
Right? They I have think so. To. Yeah.
Pretty sure it's in here. Let's see.
15-foot robot suit for exploration.
Video. All right. Is there photo? Nope. Video looks like. And I can't get this video
loading
around.
Ad.
Oh, my gosh. Stupid ads.
Oh, this is such an ad heavy.
Yeah, this is bad.
Ugh.
Okay, well, that's going to take a while. Here's what it says. Yeah. Engineers in Japan have created a 3.5-ton robot suit that resembles a character from a hugely popular animation series, which they hope to use for space exploration and in emergency situations. So let's say you had another big Fukushima earthquake. You'd suit up in a couple of these and go out there and move debris and, you know.
Oh, my God. This thing. All right. Now that they're showing the photos, it is seriously like the it's like a combination Gundam and the suit that Sigourney Weaver wore in Aliens.
Oh, yeah, dude. Why can't I get this to run? This won't run for me.
It's all. Oh, really?
Yeah, the video's frozen. I don't know why. What's going on?
Bummer.
Here?
It's all wheels on the bottom. So it doesn't walk. It just rolls, which I guess is difficult in disaster terrain. But yeah, okay, whatever.
Sure. Whatever you got. Oh,
and
here
inside,
we go.
Oh my God, the cockpit is all video screens, no windows. So basically you can have a completely, he's completely, like if there's a nuclear explosion, he won't get blinded at least.
Yeah. Yeah, that thing, you're not, you know what? You're not wrong about the Sigourney Weaver suit, but even more so I'm getting, The mechs they used to fight. Oh, you know what I'm thinking of? Titanfall, the game Titanfall. You have these robots you get in, and you're it's about this ratio of person to robot, a little tiny guy in the cockpit, and then
It's a lot closer to that. You're right.
That's cool. That's rad. Really cool. What is this? I'm sorry, I just scrolled down. Scientists invent the first ever breathing, sweating, shivering robot. What are you doing? Why are we doing that? What do we want to do that for?
And why gotcha. they hooked in with their little, what do they call those? The
chum ads?
Chum, yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, chum's perfect word for those. Here, look at this thing, though. You got to see this. Look at that robot.
Oh, that's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, it's scary.
Oh,
but also,
that is scary. That is like nightmare video game character fuel right there.
Yeah, this is where the billionaire is trying to live forever is inside of this. And he's coordinating dominant control over the world or whatever. Wow.
You finally made it into my secret boss lair. Now you will die. I can't believe you defeated all my mini bosses on the way here.
Yep. Then the music kicks in. And then I can't find any. Exactly. I was going to find
whatever
some.
Whatever you do, don't destroy those barrels on the side because I've put life in them.
That's
I've put health potions.
Oh, this doesn't work at all. That's too happy. That's happy Nintendo music.
Yeah, you're not fighting this guy without music.
Forget it. Doesn't even count.
You have some Dead Space music, Andy?
No.
That's what I'm seeing with this guy.
We are going to call that good and move on and take a break. When we come back, major spoilers and some Steven time. We've got a couple of things coming up with him. Some other stuff, too. So stick around. Brian, play a song, please.
Yeah. We're going to go to some rock right now. This is a band called Solely Veil. S-O-L-E-L-Y-V-E-I-L. Solely Veil. I don't know the basis of the name because it's a hard one to say. This is a debut single from them. It's called Serenity. It's coming from their album Conquer, which is going to be released next year, produced by Nick Miller, Edward Fenley, and Elliot Polikoff. Alan Wheeler is your main dude for the Sacramento band. He's lead singer, songwriter, and musical arrangement composer for all this stuff. They put composure, but I believe
they wrote composure. Oops.
They wrote composure, but I think that might be appropriate. Like, you know, you compose the music as opposed to, I don't know.
Yeah. Composure. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. What it's composed of as opposed to,
The composure of the piece.
The composure of the music. Exactly.
I see. Gotcha.
Anyway, Sacramento, California, Solely Veil. Here's the song Serenity.
Flash like lightning, while thunder clouds my brain. Nothing I can do. nothing you can say. Let the morning sun forgive me for all that's come to pass. Curse that day while I decay inside this house of glass. Rusted chains around my feet drag me down till I can reach. 'Cause I'm searching for.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How do everyone sleep? I'll go first. With your mother and erotically. What are we eating? Don't care. I love it.
You just sit there. You look Mexican.
And we've returned. Tell me who that was again, please.
Yeah, that's the band Solely Veil from their upcoming album, which is going to be called Conquer, but you can get the single right now. It's their debut single, and it's called Serenity. Serenity Now!
Serenity Now. All right, let's get some serenity in the form of Hayes, Kansas connections and talk to our old pal, Steven, which begins like this.
And now, welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Yeah, he is. Big yeah. Nerd. Steven, welcome to the show. Happy fall to you, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, hello, Scott. Hello, Brian. Hello. Thank you. I'm doing well. Every time I hear dollar bills, I just sit there and I'm like doing the, you know, scraping your hands.
Yeah,
like
you got to do like
that. Yeah, doing like the, yeah, make it rain. Are you making it rain in the...
I am trying to make it rain.
In the Dust Bowl, America's Dust Bowl or whatever it is. hey, real quick, Halloween stuff. Are you planning on any big deals? Are you going to dress up? Are you going to, you know?
No. So we take off on all of our major spoiler stuff on the 31st in the evening because you can't record with every 5 seconds the doorbell rings. So we'll put out, I'll sit there by the door for about an hour and hand out candy. Used to be when we were a long time ago when the boys were young, our neighborhood was the place to come to get candy, our whole subdivision. Now, not so much. And I'm okay with that.
You're all right with it. Yeah.
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 I'm kind of, I mean, Kim's still, you know, nuts. She loves the full candy bars. She knows that we're going to get targeted by kids who know about it. Like, they're just going to, it's going to be a real night.
This is the full-size candy bar house.
Yeah, but I sit there usually and either have like a Steam Deck in my lap or I'm drawing on an iPad or something on the couch. Then I get up, give it out. But by about an hour, I'm done. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, I give out big handfuls of candy so we'll run through it faster.
Oh, that's
my
a
wife's
good
like,
idea.
Just give them two. And I'm like, no, give them five. Give them a whole handful.
I was like, wait, you know what? I got a plan this year. I'm going to be done quicker than anybody.
Exactly, yeah. Once you're out, you just turn the lights off and that's all you can do.
Yeah, and
when
some kid will go
kids
home.
Show up, I know it's... When the high school kids show up, I know it's over and I'm just dumping the whole bowl into their bag.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. What else are you going to do? You going to wait for them to toothpaste your windows? You got to give them what they want. Oh, man.
Have something for the teenagers who show up with no costume.
That's right. Hey, we got some news in the comics front, by the way. A costume you probably wouldn't want to create, and that is the infamous Captain America Rob Liefeld rendition. that drawing.
I mean,
that
it is so infamous. Yep. It was for a Heroes Reborn thing.
Yeah.
And you say it, everybody, I think, if you've read comic books since 1993, this thing is all over the place. You can't go online without seeing Captain America's giant boobs.
Yeah,
exactly. You just, all you have to do is hear that term. And it's like, oh yeah, in my head, I know exactly what we're talking about.
It's got like 14 or 15 physical problems with it. Like it's the chest is all wrong. The perspective on the chest itself is wrong. The star is facing too much forward compared to where his arm is. It's almost like his boob moved there.
Like it's exactly almost like he has three boobs and you're just seeing the right one and a half of the center one.
Yep.
And there's probably a star, two stars on his chest.
Yep. And every face Liefeld ever used to draw always reminded me of Red Skull without the red.
Like, yeah.
Almost like there's no nose there. It's just not right. Anyway, Liefeld for all his strengths.
Looks really good.
The shield's the shield's fine, I suppose. But Liefeld for all of his his success in his life, he created Deadpool and Cable and he's got some stuff under his belt and his whole time in Image was a big deal and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's given him big awards for Captain America renderings. However, this thing's about to go on auction. And I'm guessing it's gonna make a crapshit ton of money because of how bad it is. That's why it'll sell.
Because it is so iconic, I think it will sell for a lot. But here are the last couple of Rob Liefeld pieces of art that went on sale at Heritage Auction. The first is the Rob Liefeld New Mutants number 98, page 13. Yeah. It sold for $93,000.
Whoa!
Yep, first shot of Deadpool, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It's definitely got Cable all over the page.
Yeah, Cable. Didn't Cable and Deadpool appear, like, debut in that comic in the same time? I guess just the same run, but it wasn't the same issue.
Yeah. The cheapest one that it looks like they've sold is Rob Liefeld's The New Mutants Annual number 6, the Cable pinup picture of Cable just being just huge and bulky and everything. That one sold.
Cable got a Cable.
I know, right? $38,000 for that. So I'm going to guess that this one's probably going to sell between $75,000 and $150,000.
Yeah.
If it goes more than that, I mean, Jim Lee's cover to X-Men when that launched. I can't remember he still has it. I think he sold that for like $3 million a couple of years ago because he needed to pay for his kids' college. and he's got a lot of kids, so.
Oh, they got some John Romita Jr. stuff up.
They got a Heritage Auctions is great. It's ha.com, or I think it's now it's comics.ha.com.
Yeah.
But they do a lot of the high end comic stuff. And sometimes you can find original art fairly inexpensive. But when it comes to dealing with the high end quality art, even old comics that have been graded really high, they'll sell them.
Oh, yeah. Look at all.
And they do a great job.
Ton of this stuff in here.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And they also, if you're someone who is into retro gaming, Scott, they will also sell like the unopened package of like the Legend of Zelda, the gold edition or whatever from way back in the day. And those things sell for like $1.5 million.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Wow. Hey, you know, there's
an internet buff.
They have some animation frames up here, too, or animation cells that they sell. Uh-huh. And one of them is, you know, the meme-y, I can't think of his name all of a sudden, He-Man. Where he's like laughing and singing. What's the name of that song?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's the one that they put it to is What's Up by Four Non Bloods.
Oh, that's right. That whole thing, right? He's the one of him laughing and pulling his head back with all the stars behind him, which they use constantly in that video, is currently on sale. The current bid is $5.25. It ends.
That's not bad.
No, it's not too bad. They want six. Looks like the buyer or the seller wants $630 by the end of it. He wants $630, so we'll see if it gets there. But
that's really nothing. I mean, for as iconic as that image would be, that is super cheap if it is the original cell. Like I have some original Cowboy Bebop cells of Faye Valentine and Spike Spiegel, and I think I have one of Ed. Mm-hmm. And just by themselves, those will sell for over $3,500 for each one of those.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So $600, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
That's a bargain.
They're also selling NFTs here, and boy, they're not going for much. They have historic sales stuff that when they did sell, you know, when those things were going through the roof, people were buying, you know, this, let's see, what's this one? Crypto Punk Face number 6503 for $362,000. But those days are gone, folks.
Yeah. Yeah. People are realizing NFT, not worth the paper that it's not printed on.
Yep, basically that is correct. All right, well, there's that. Watch for that if you're into Liefeld or Captain America or whatever, and you can go see.
Well, even better, Rob Liefeld did an update of his infamous picture with Sam Wilson, Falcon.
Yeah, love that new version. It's like, all right, that he always seemed to be like totally fine to be in on the joke. Like, yeah, I know this sucked.
So here's the thing. Love him or hate him, Rob Liefeld is certainly somebody that doesn't back down and is certainly somebody who takes a lot of this in stride.
Yes.
But if you try to criticize that Captain America one, he's like, no, this is good art.
Oh, really? Oh,
it's like he doubles down.
Like recently in the last couple of years.
At
the time he was super defensive of it, really.
Yeah, there was a Wolverine page that he shared with people, and one person went in and said, maybe he's a little bit too bulky, and Liefeld just ripped him apart, top to bottom. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
Oh, jeez.
Love him or hate him, Rob Liefeld is definitely somebody who sticks by his beliefs and his view on art.
Well, so. my problem, though, with this one that he did of Sam is that it's actually better. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it's actually
the chest isn't as big.
It's not as big. Yeah. He's also his face works better. Like this is Liefeld doing better work now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. Everybody gets better over time, but I feel like this isn't ridiculous enough. Like it's too down to earth. I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it. But when you put the two together, I mean, that Captain America, that Steve Rogers one is a joke.
Oh yeah, it's horrible.
So bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's a cool thing he did. Let's talk about Dark Horse Comics announcing The Midnight Show. I don't know what this is or what the reference is, but I want to know more because it looks
okay,
cool.
Okay, so here's how I would describe it. So this is from Cullen Bunn and Brian Hurt, the duo behind The Sixth Gun, which I know you love.
I love that series so much.
And Cullen Bunn does great horror stuff. So the premise behind The Midnight Show is that 50 years ago, there's this guy called Basil Saxon, who was this schlocky horror movie director. And on his last movie, the set burned to the ground and the film was never completed and thought lost until finally somebody found a copy of The Midnight Show, or found a copy of his last movie. And they are debuting it at this kind of like fan convention, a midnight showing of this long lost movie.
Sure.
And so, you know, people are all over packing the theaters, and this is taking place in a small town. And as they're watching the movie, weird things happen in the town. Like, this couple is out walking at night, and one of them's like, "Did you hear something? I don't know." And then all of a sudden, a wolf man jumps out and kills them.
Oh my!
And then two old men are down by the river fishing. It's like, "Oh, them fish sure are biting." And then, you know, like the creature from the Black Lagoon jumps out and kills them. And so all of these movie monsters are coming to life while this movie is going on.
Yeah.
And so it feels like, as we kind of talked about on the Major Spoilers podcast, it's like if Monster Squad met Elvira.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Weird. And this whole thing just feels like, even though it's set in a modern day, it feels like it is channeling 1980s horror movies.
I'm looking at the cover. It almost channels like Crypt Keeper era.
A little bit. Yeah.
There's something about that. Like, if you tattered this up and yellowed it a little, I'd say, oh, look, this old comic from the 50s before they cracked down on, you know, scary comics for kids or whatever. It has that vibe to it. I absolutely love these creators. They're amazing. And if you've never read The Sixth Gun, you should all stop what you're doing and do it. But now that you've said that these guys are involved, this is a no-brainer for me. I'm getting this.
Yeah, this came out last week from Dark Horse, so it's available everywhere. Your comic shop probably still has copies, and you can get it digitally through Comixology up on the Amazon website. So it's if you're looking for a fun, and I say fun in that it's not total slasher, blood and guts, gore porn kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It feels like a 1980s horror movie.
Yeah.
Without Freddy coming out and slashing you up.
I say sign me up is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get it.
I'm going to get it.
It's good.
All right. Talking about good, entertaining things you can get. There's also a lot of that happening over at Major Spoilers. Why don't you tell the fine folks what and where and how?
Yeah. So I don't know about you guys, but I've been playing Lamplighters League since the demo dropped a couple of weeks ago. Mm. It's like XCOM meets Cthulhu.
Yeah, it looks really cool. Love the art style on this.
The art style is awesome. It has some issues. Mainly some buggy stuff that I think they'll fix in an upcoming patch, frame rate drops and all those kinds of things.
Sure.
But if people don't want to play the video game, they can certainly listen to something very similar in the form of our Octoon Cthulhu RPG game that we're playing on Critical Hit. And it's like, what if Indiana Jones punches Nazis in the face and punches Cthulhu in the face? And it's a lot of fun. And we've been doing it now for 8 months, and it's great. It's a little bit more aggressive because you know, we do have to punch Nazis, and that's fine.
That's what makes it fun,
right?
Yeah, go for it.
But the Cthulhu monsters and the horror that comes with that, maybe not so much. But go check it out. It's Punch All Nazis. This is the name of the campaign that we're doing. You're using the Octoon Cthulhu system from Modiphius, and you can find it right now over at Major Spoilers and listening to our podcast Critical Hit.
That sounds fantastic. Steven, is there anything else I should do in the heat and the oppressive sun that we're still having?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a beautiful day. Even though it's been cold in the morning, going to be a beautiful day. Still, though, everybody needs to stay hydrated.
Oh, that's a great idea. Thanks a lot. I got this water right here, Brian. I can drink this.
Very good.
Yeah.
Nice. Kirkland, I have this water right here that has coffee flavoring.
Oh, yum, 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 yum.
It's coffee flavored water.
That sounds so gross.
It does, actually. It just sounds like watered down coffee, but it's just coffee.
Just coffee with a couple
Splenda in there.
Yeah, a little water. Look, coffee's mostly water anyway.
It is.
Yeah, unless you're crazy and you put too much milk and other stuff. But Brian, don't want to fart all day. All right.
No. Got a little bit of this coconut Khalifa Farms coconut milk stuff in there. It'll lighten it up a little bit. Somebody recommended that to us, and I totally dig that stuff.
Khalifa Farms. That's the rapper, singer, songwriter.
Yes, the Wiz Khalifa Farms.
Yeah, it's an amazing place to go.
Yeah, boy. I know that's a different guy.
But still, whatever. It's fine.
Still, I don't know what Wiz Khalifa says that I could use as his.
Yeah, what is
his tagline?
What is his?
When you turn the knob on the what does the cow say? You turn it to the Wiz Khalifa spot in that on that toy and pull the string. What does the Wiz Khalifa say?
Yeah, what does he say? I don't know that he has a famous thing to say, or does he? I don't know. I don't follow that career. I maybe I should. He's great. Whatever.
Sure.
Also, real quick, I got hooked on something called Sea Point Farms Dry Roasted Edamame. Have you eaten these before? You ever had these?
No.
They're seasoned with sea salt, gluten-free, kosher, blah, 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 all that stuff. I found a bag at a TJ Maxx, of all places, because they have that weird...
So these are like... So, yeah, freeze-dried. So, like, crispy, like, eat them like potato chips kind of thing.
Kind of. Not freeze-dried, but dry-roasted. So, they're like peanuts.
Dry-roasted.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like a dry-roasted peanut. They're so good. I can't say enough about them. And I think they're good for me, so...
I clearly just don't buy enough food at the TJ Maxx. I need to up my grocery store shop.
That's the thing about that place. They get that weird little aisle where they bring in like strange international funky foods.
I wonder if they've got that at the Cost Plus World Market.
Probably.
I bet they do, because that's where you get all your Tim Tams and your actual Goomy Bears.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I can get... Oh, yeah. Here they are on Amazon. I can get this brand there. I may get this whole... Ooh, $17 for that. I wonder if that's a good deal. I don't know. Okay. So they have one of the big square... tubs, what do you call that? I don't know what you call it.
Jeez, hold on, I'm pulling up dry roasted edamame on Amazon. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's this right here.
Yeah, what do you call it?
Sea Point Farms, you said.
Yeah, that's the one. And they have packets and stuff, but this one's like the tub. It's $17.
The plastic jar.
Or the jar. Right? Yeah, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
I'm gonna eat food out of a tub I got at TJ Maxx.
Yeah, I guess because it's plastic, I think tub. But anyway, the $17, is that a good deal? I don't know if that's good. It's a lot of them.
Yeah, I want to see what are the, where's the nutrition facts? Show me, there it is right there. 130 for a third of a cup. That's not bad.
Not bad, not right? Not bad. Yeah, lots of protein, good dietary fiber.
Probably good
fiber.
Fats, too.
Yeah, right? Good fats. It's better for me than peanuts, I think.
0 grams trans fat. It's good.
Yeah, I think I might have to grab these.
They look like, it's funny, they look like little pistachios.
Yeah, they look like peeled, like someone peeled them for you.
Yeah.
And by peel, I mean... ruin their fingers and teeth trying to open them.
Yes, exactly.
Because that's what pistachios do. Anyway, we'll see what I do there. Real quick thing we got from a listener. This is from Robert, again, Robert from Hendertucky, although this time he signed it Robert from underpopulated Hendertucky.
Okay.
Henderson, Nevada. Right. He says, on that everyone lives in Texas thing, I'd mentioned that I'd read somewhere that some scientists or mathematicians or somebody had figured out a way that if you wanted to cram every single living human being, all 8 billion of us, into the state of Texas, you could do it.
Yeah.
And you could do it and people would live and thrive and be fine.
I wouldn't necessarily about living. I mean, they'd live, but I think you'd be shoulder to shoulder with...
Yeah, and that's basically what he found out. He says, here's an article I found regarding that 7 to 8 billion people living in Texas-sized city. It looks like they could, but the water pressure would suck. This is a ZDNet article.
So this is the...
I think this is the study.
Yeah, let's see. This is fascinating. I like the fact that they've done an infographic for this.
Same.
As soon as that damn infographic loads.
Yeah, mine's not loading either. Why? I don't have an ad blocker on this page. I don't know why it's doing that. Well, anyway, they say, well, it's not realistic that we will all move to one megacity. The reality is the next 2 billion that join us on Earth will be living in cities. So how many? Let's see. It goes on. So basically the idea is you could do it.
Yeah.
You could have a megacity and everyone on the planet could live there. But it would be a nightmare. I wouldn't want that.
It would be a nightmare. Yeah.
I don't want
that. Yeah, this infographic, I don't know why this infographic is not coming up. And if I right click on it, I get error codes, HTML error codes.
Yeah, I got no such key. The specified key does not exist.
It's the one. That's the one I get too.
Damn it.
No such key.
Well, we try. It's funny though, because when you hover over it in the link on our doc, you get a preview thumbnail of the chart.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, so you get like the little... Exactly. That's right.
So what the frick? Does that make any sense?
I know ways around this, Scott. Let me see if this works.
Hold. Try a different browser. I'm going to try my DuckDuckGo browser. See what happens there.
I'll see if I can do it another way.
Whoops, it's running something on YouTube. Don't do that. All right, there it is. Did it do it? It did.
Good. All right.
Oh, but it's not the same graphic. What?
Oh, really?
Hold on. Oh, no, it didn't work. Never mind. Did your way work? My way did not work.
I inspected Element and then looked at source files.
Look at you hacking the internet.
That didn't work either. No, I got an error message when it came to that resource.
Thanks, ZDNet. I mean, it is a 2011 article, so it's pretty old. It's not like we're going to get, perfect links on stuff like that. But Anyway, thank you for that, Robert. We hope you are well as usual. If you'd like to text in like Robert did, you can send us one at 801-471-0462. And better yet, even than that, you can join us on our Patreon, patreon.com/TMS. All the details are there. That's going to do it for today's show. Brian, we should play a song on our way out, though.
Let's play a song on our way out, Scott. And I've got just the song to play. This was a request that actually came in earlier. Let's see. Yeah, middle of last month, but did want to finally get to this. This is, we've mentioned Jemmery. We thought, you know, maybe it's Jeremy, but a little typo. No, it's definitely Jemmery, because he spelled it here, Jemmery. Does one need a reason to request one's latest enjoyed cover from one's favorite podcast duo? I say not. Press play, boys. Take a well-earned breather. Signed, JJJJJJ.
Whoa. That's a lot of J's. That's either a lot of J's or a moderate amount of JJ's. Think of it that way.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Or a very minuscule amount of J's. Just a fraction of those.
Yeah.
This is one I hadn't heard before. It was a single that Beck released last year, and this is the first I'd heard of it, and I love it. It's so cool. It's a cover of the Neil Young song, and it's Beck. Here's Beck doing Old Man.
All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow on a Tuesday edition of TMS.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Frogpants.com.
Valorant didn't interest me too much.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.